Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome to Way of Truth Radio. I am your host, Brent Chance. Tonight's podcast is called The Joy of the Lord, and just a crazy idea that I had here recently with everything that was going on. You know, a couple weeks ago, just to kind of preface the show here, a couple weeks ago, of course, we went on the air last week because of my wife's ordination dedication that they did for a ministry team that they're getting ready to do, and so I wanted to go to that and support her. But, you know, one of the things that I covered it a couple weeks ago in the news segment. I just wanted to readdress tonight. I have a really dear friend that covers and does abortion ministry, and some of the comments that I made in respect to the way that some people work at these abortion clinics, I won't say it offended him as much as it kind of hurt him or bothered him. And I just want to be clear on something, and that is that I don't personally do abortion ministry, and so therefore I don't always have a working knowledge of what that entails. I don't see the hardness of the hearts of some of these people and things like that. And if any way I came across in that particular show as being unloving or somebody that didn't care about what these guys were doing out there, I just want to apologize, because that was not my intention. My intention was to just simply say that make sure that we have the proper perspective when we're out there and the proper heart. And I know that this particular gentleman and his wife have, you know, tonight's show is called The Joy of the Lord. And so we're sitting here talking about, you know, having the joy of the Lord. These two have it, and they're out there every, you know, week sharing and doing street contact evangelism. And so I just wanted to clarify that and just make sure that there was no misunderstanding about where I stood with that. It just wasn't that was not a proper ministry. And I certainly don't want to come across as condemning the way that somebody might do that ministry. I just want to make sure people's hearts are right. And I know that him and his wives are, and I wasn't, even though that comment wasn't specifically directed at them, I just wanted to make sure that I came on the air tonight and addressed that. So the joy of the Lord, one of the comments, one of the things I said to Pastor Bill Fowler a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the church and the Great Commission and culture was this concept that I felt like the Lord had given me, and it was the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, that verse actually comes from Nehemiah, and we're going to cover that verse here in just a little bit. We'll go over it. But what I felt like the Lord was saying to me was, you know, in these times, in this day and age in which we live, it's very easy to become discouraged. It's very easy to become disillusioned, depressed, anxious with everything that's going on. And so what I wanted to do was say, hey, let's explore the joy of the Lord. Let's take a look at this and let's see what does that really mean? Let's flesh that out. What does it mean to have the joy of the Lord? Because, you know, we don't have any reason to be depressed. And I've got literally 7 pages of scriptures here. So in just a few minutes, I'm hoping to be joined on the air by Pastor Mark Barton. He's supposed to call in. And when I see his number pop up on the screen here, keep my eye on the phone, see his number pop up on the call-in screen here, we'll bring him on as well. He's going to be joining us tonight. But tonight's going to be a night of testimony. We're going to talk about, some of the things I've seen, like in prison ministry, and just what does the joy of the Lord really mean? And so before I get started, you know, my wife and I this week, I wanted to just go ahead and say this to my wife, Tina. We celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary this week. There's a nice picture of us for those of you on Facebook Live. And so I just wanted to give her a shout out, tell her how much I love her. And I just can't believe it's been 25 years. I know a lot of you right now are thinking, wow, you really married up. And to that, I always say I was quite the catch in 1987. So that's always my comeback to that. So, but anyway, just a quick I love you to Tina, and a happy 25th wedding anniversary, and looking to forward to many, many more. So the joy of the Lord. And, you know, we've talked about it on the show before. You know, we've seen people with the joy of the Lord and on their faces when they're serving. Typically, you see it when people are just newly saved, or are newly born again, that type of thing. And I've got a picture here that I'm going to put up on Facebook Live. Now, for those of you on Blog Talk Radio, this is not really going to mean a whole lot because you're not going to be able to see it. But I just wanted to put this picture up there because I feel like this picture, if you had to see what the joy of the Lord looks like, what it looks like on somebody's face, I want you to take a look at this picture because this is my son when he came up right out of the water from being baptized. And I just want you to take a quick look at this picture for those of you on Facebook Live. Look at that face. Look at that. That is the joy of the Lord, folks. That's what I'm talking about. That is pure joy. And, you know, he just came up out of the water born again. And it's just such a beautiful picture and such a beautiful illustration of what it means to have the joy of the Lord. So I'm going to start off with a few scriptures. We got a ton of scriptures tonight we're going to go through and try to be an encouragement to everybody. But the first scripture I want to go through tonight, I want to go to Revelation. A lot of you are probably going, hey, wait a minute. Revelation is pretty heavy. I thought we were going to try to be encouraged here tonight. Just bear with me. Bear with me. So Revelation. So it's Revelation 2 verses 4. And Christ is actually condemning one of the churches here. But I want to read this. It says, but I have, it's at Revelation 2 verses 4 through 5. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works that you did at first. Now, why do I start off with that verse? I start off with that verse just like I started off with that picture of my son coming up out of that water, being a brand new Christian, a brand new birth in Christ, born again, and literally the joy. Remember the joy you felt when you gave your life to the Lord? Remember the joy that you had when everything just looked new? Everything was, you had a new perspective. The Lord put a new heart in you. He put a new soul in you. I mean, everything just, life just looked different. And it was, you were excited. You were on fire for the Lord. And that's what, I think that's what the Lord was saying to the people there in Revelation, to that church, was get back to that. You know, we got to get back to that. Don't ever lose sight of that. You know, Jesus used when he was teaching in parables and stuff, he used children a lot. And he talked about, unless you have faith like a child, you know, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you've really got to have that childlike faith and that childlike belief. And that's why I love that picture of my son. It's my Facebook profile picture on Facebook. I don't think I'll ever change it because to me, it just perfectly illustrates the joy of the Lord when somebody's being born again. And so that's what we got to get back to. So if you are feeling discouraged, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling like, man, I mean, this world is crazy with everything that's going on with Donald Trump and the presidency, and you know, the country seems so divided, lay that aside, lay that down and focus on the joy of the Lord that you had when you were first saved. So let's cover that verse real quick. Let's cover that verse in Nehemiah. It is Nehemiah 8, verses 8 through 10. And it says, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So that's where tonight's podcast is coming from. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so where we're coming at tonight, now what was going on there in Nehemiah was the Jews had come back from being in exile in Babylon, and they hadn't heard the law read out loud in several years. And so they had gotten Ezra and some others up on a stage, and they were reading, and the scribes were there and the priests were there, and they were reading the law. And what happened was the people were so convicted, the Jewish people were so convicted because they hadn't heard the law in so long, that they literally fell down on their faces. They were grieved. They were burdened because they knew that, man, I haven't been living the way that I should be living. I haven't been fulfilling the law. And they were burdened by that. And that's where that verse comes from. You know, don't be grieved. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I also say that there's another meaning to that. And that goes back to what I said earlier. And that is, when you're out there and you're doing God's work, it doesn't matter, especially if you do ministry. And if you do ministry like prison ministry or homeless ministry, addiction type ministries, sex trade type ministries, it can be very dark place. It can be a very, very dark place. And the forces of evil do not want you in that place, those places. That is kind of their playground. That's their home base. And they don't want Christians in there. They don't want light in the darkness. And so it can kind of pull down on you. And so what you have to lean on when you do those kind of ministries, what you have to lean on is the joy of the Lord as your strength. In other words, the fact that I'm making God happy by doing what I should be doing, that's all the strength I need to have. I just need to rest in the fact that I am doing what makes the Lord happy, that makes God happy. And the joy of the Lord is going to be my strength. You know, I don't care if the world comes against me. I don't care if my friends turn their back on me. I don't care if people get offended because I want to speak the truth of the Word of God, you know, because the joy that I am giving the Lord is all the strength that I need. It's all the strength that I need. And so we're going to go through several verses. I mean, I was surprised how many verses I found on topics like being encouraged, being joyful, things like that. 75 verses on being encouraged in the Bible. And so I'm just going to read through some of these tonight. We're just going to kind of go through some of these and talk about some of these. The first one I want to read is John 16:33. It's overcoming discouragement. And it says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace in the world. You may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Now, folks, that just says it all, doesn't it? That's a promise from our Lord. That's a promise from Jesus that says, you know, in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take courage from that, because I have overcome the world. And because he overcame the world, we have overcome the world. We have the gift of eternal life. And so that is a powerful, encouraging word. Here's another one, Job 5-6. I mean, who among us could have ever been as discouraged as Job, right? I mean, lost everything, sores all over his body, family gets killed, and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. Sorry about that little Windows update popping up there. But Job was crazy. I mean, it was just all the things that he had to endure. And so Job 5:6-7, it says, "For affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. For man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward." In other words, just being born into this world, this fallen world, you're going to have trouble. It's a fallen and broken place. And all the more that you need that joy of the Lord. You need the joy of the Lord in your life so that you can overcome the world, that you can persevere. I mean, you want to do a study in the Bible on words, do a study on perseverance, and, you know, how many scriptures that talk about persevering to the end, and blessed are those who persevere. And, you know, it's so critical that we persevere and that we continue on. Let's go into 2 Corinthians 6:4-10. It says, "But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love." In other words, all those things are very discouraging, you know, but we have to have endurance. We have to endure it. You know, affliction, hardship, sleeplessness. How many times have you been up and just worried, sick? I mean, there was a time in my life where, man, I was so stressed out about finances and money. We had lost everything in our lives, lost our home, filed bankruptcy personally in our business, and had no money in our bank accounts all wiped out, started over less than zero. And just, on top of that, my dad passed away, and I was volunteered to be the executive of his estate. And there was going to be a difference in what the estate ended up being worth and what the attorneys were owed. And, you know, I would spend countless nights, you know, I dreaded if I woke up in the middle of the night, because I knew I would be up worrying from that point on. So if I woke up at 3 o'clock, I might as well get up, because I would be up the rest of the night anyway. And I just remembered all those nights, and I really just had to just press into the Lord and trust in the Lord. And, you know, it all worked out. Everything worked out. Today, the Lord has restored us completely financially, kind of like Job. I mean, I'm thinking about Job here. You know, he has given us more now than really we had before it all happened. And I think the only difference is that I feel like we're much more connected to the Lord, and that we're much more faithful to the Lord and serving the Lord in our situations now. And so we went through a lot in about a 5 to 6 year stretch, you know, just one thing after the other. But the beautiful thing was I had become born again in that time frame there. And so I had that joy of the Lord. I had that new born again feeling, and just was on fire for the Lord. And through it all, you know, through losing everything and all the financial difficulties and things like that, I guess if I had to put my finger on one thing, one key to the Christian life in terms of overcoming discouragement, overcoming being depressed, or any of those things, is to serve other people. Serve others. Put others before yourself. Think about that. Jesus said, "I came to serve and not to be served." He modeled it for us. He gave us the solution. I guarantee you, if you'll go out and serve other people, you will find that your depression, your anxiety, your discouragement will drift away. Will drift away. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say it'll be gone forever, but I'm saying temporarily it sure will. And in many cases, it is gone forever, because whatever you're going through is a temporary situation, you know, finances or an argument with somebody or something like that. It's a temporary type of depression or anxiety anyway. And so by taking the focus off of that and going to serve somebody else and stepping outside of yourself, stepping outside of your circumstances, and putting the focus on somebody else and helping somebody else, no matter how small or trivial it may seem, is the key to joy in the Lord. If I had to put my finger on one thing, I know Pastor Alan Dayton and I say it all the time: serve, get out and serve. Well, I don't know, I feel this way. You know, are you serving anywhere? No, I'm not serving right now, man. With everything that's going on, I just don't feel like, you know, I don't feel equipped. I don't feel like I should. I don't feel adequate. I feel like I'm at a distance from God, so I shouldn't be serving other people. Yeah. Wrong attitude. Sorry. All the more reason to be out there serving other people. And if you don't have a ministry that you're plugged into, go to your local church. I'm telling you, there are ministries that would love to have more volunteers. Would love to have people come and help them minister. Love it. Prison ministry, they are in constant need, because that's not something that most people think about going and doing, is prison ministry, right? That's something that, I mean, I know every time we put together a team, a Kairos team, to go into the prisons here in Indiana, these guys that are leading, I've actually led one, so I know this to be a fact. You know, you might call a couple hundred guys just to get 40 to go in. If you're lucky enough to get 40 to go in, sometimes you go in with 38, 35, but the key, and I'm looking at the camera for Facebook Live, the key is to get outside of yourself and to go out and serve other people. If you'll just trust me on this, you will know what I'm talking about. There's no greater joy, because you're giving your strength, you're becoming strengthened because you're bringing joy to the Lord in what you're doing, and you're taking the Lord and the good news to other people. It's a beautiful thing. If we'll step outside of ourselves and actually do it. So that was 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 4 through 10. Let's just keep going here. This is 2 Chronicles 32 verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, nor because of the horde that is with him. For the one who was with us is greater than the one who was with him. Great army of Assyria, lots of soldiers. You know, here they're saying, the one that's with us is greater than the one that is with them. And we could take this because, you know, we know we deal in spiritual battle. There's spiritual warfare going on all the time. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago in our spiritual warfare series on the spirit of offense. And there is spiritual battles raging all the time. And so there again, we don't need to be discouraged because there's spiritual battles raging around us or in our lives, that type of thing. Because the one that is with us is much greater than the one Jesus said, I overcame the world. So it's, he's much greater than the world. He's much greater than the world. So we don't have to be discouraged. All right, let's read on here. We're going to go to Luke 18, chapter 18, verse 1. It says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose hearts. Not lose heart. In other words, pray and don't be discouraged. Pray and don't let, you know, let the world get you down. You know, all this stuff that's going on right now politically in our country, it's getting a lot of people down. I know if I get too wrapped up in it, it kind of gets me down and I got to recenter myself, you know. And so the key to all this is make sure that you know and you're staying in prayer and you're staying connected to the Lord, because the Lord's going to give you all the joy that you need. He's going to, you know, all that stuff is temporal. We're dealing with eternal. This world is going to pass away. We know this to be true. I read from Revelation earlier. Read the rest of that book. You'll understand what happens. The world's going to pass away. Christ is going to come back. We are going to be part of the new kingdom. Eternity. This world is temporal. All right. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. For consider him who has endured much hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What that was saying is, think about Jesus and all the hostility that the sinners just heaped upon him. And if we'll just think about what Jesus had to endure, you know, Jesus told us that, you know, hey, you know, the world hated me and despised me. They're going to hate and despise you too, if you're out there actually living out the full Christian life and you don't, you know, you're not a closet Christian. I heard it said one time, if the Christian police showed up, could they find enough evidence in your life to find you guilty of being a Christian? I mean, interesting take. Some of us might have to say, I don't know if they'd find enough evidence. I mean, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. I don't read the Bible. I don't witness to anybody. I don't do ministry. I'm not involved in any kind of a ministry. I don't really have any fruit. Should be some evidence. Should be some evidence. And that may be why you're discouraged. That may be why you do get easily discouraged, or you become anxious, or just downtrodden, because you're not actively pursuing the Lord and having the fruit that he's talking about. So we're going to read on here. Revelation 2:3, another one there in chapter 2. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Now, that was he was actually commending that church after he talked about them losing their first love. He comes back to says that, you know, you have persevered, you have endured for my name's sake, and you've not grown weary in doing it. So blessed are those who persevere in the Lord. We can take heart in that. Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So we'll reap if we just don't get discouraged and give up. So perseverance, big, big topic in the Bible, big topic in the Bible. You know, I wanted to share a couple of testimonies with you guys. I was kind of hoping Pastor Bart would call in here, but One testimony I have from doing prison ministry was a guy named MacArthur, and I won't go into his full name, but he'd been in prison for 40 years and had gone in for some robbery issues and stuff, and I think armed robbery. And so he'd been in prison for 40 years. It was actually the first time I'd served in prison ministry. He was sitting at the table next to me. And by this time, he was an older gentleman. I'd say he was probably in his 60s. You know, and just in the course of the first day, he would lean over and he would just say things to me as we would be going through the day and guys were giving talks and things like that. And he would just say, this has really got me thinking, and this has really got me, you know, my sister's a Christian and she always tried to talk to me, and this has just got me really thinking. And so the next day we'd come back, and that's a Friday. I'm sorry, that was Saturday morning. And he leans over to me and he says, man, I couldn't sleep all night last night. He goes, I just kept thinking about what you guys said. And I looked out my window and I was looking up at the stars and stuff. And I just felt that the Lord was real. And I felt like I just want to give my life to him. And can you help me, you know, give my life to him? And would you help me with that? And I said, yeah. I said, let's step over to this area that we call the chapel that's kind of partitioned off. We do this in a great big gymnasium in the prison. And we stepped over there, and I'll never forget it because I always get emotional when I start thinking about this. And you could just see the Lord was all over this man, right? He was trembling. He was starting to cry. And I reached out and I said, take my hand. And I reached out and I grabbed his hand. And as I grabbed his hand, it was like 1,000 volts of electricity just went straight through my fingertips, all through my arms. I felt it from the top of my head all the way out through the bottom of my feet. It was a power that was on this man. And it was the Spirit of God that was all over him. And I knew right then and there that his transformation had already been complete. He just needed to vocalize it. He wanted to vocalize it out. But I'll never forget the power I felt when I grabbed that man's hand in that prison, and just the sheer energy of the Lord being on him and the Spirit of God being on that man. And so we began to pray, and I said, you know, you just need to tell the Lord what you're thinking. You want to make sure you tell the Lord that you want to give your life to the Lord, repent for the things that you've done. And as he begins to talk, you know, I'm holding his hand the whole time. And I'll be honest with you, I had a hard time keeping it together because it was just so powerful and so electric. And just, there was just this power. I don't know what else to say. It was just this godly power. And I'm holding this man's hand, and he begins to just weep and cry. 40 years, he spent his whole life in prison, and all of a sudden he's weeping and he's just sharing to the Lord. And then as quickly as that happened, it was very similar situation in my experience with the Lord. He began to just stop crying and just began. You could just see the joy that began to fill him up, you know. And, you know, he finished his prayer and I looked at him and I hugged him, you know, and he just, from the rest of that weekend on, just floated through that weekend, just floated through everything. And the guys that were at our table came up to me over the course of the weekend and says, you don't understand who that guy is, right? I mean, that guy is one of the most bitter guys you will ever want to meet. Every time he looks at somebody, he cusses them out. Nobody wants to be around him because he cusses them out all the time. He's just so hateful. And so they said, we can't believe what we're seeing here. And so fast forward a few months, you know, and we're talking to some of the guards and stuff. And they said, yeah, you know, hey, that MacArthur, I'll tell you, that guy, what a transformation. And see, part of his job there at the prison was, you know, they make money. This is not anything. I'm not going to share anything with you that's a secret. They make money, you know, smuggling stuff around and you know, being carriers and things like that. And that's kind of how he made some of his money. But because he got born again, he gave all that up. He gave all that up, and it was a beautiful thing. Well, it looks like Pastor Barton's trying to call in here. Let me just jump on here real quick and see if we can catch him, see if this is him.
Hey, hello, Brent.
Hey, Mark. You're kind of breaking up a little bit. Sounds a little choppy.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to tell you about that.
Actually, it's better now. Whatever you did is better now.
Is it better now?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, hey, Mark,
all right.
I was... I just finished up talking. We're talking tonight about the joy of the Lord, and I just finished up with the story or testimony of a guy in prison. And Mark, I may ask you to try to call me back. Can you do that?
Yeah, I'll call you right back.
Try to call me back, see if we can get a better connection.
Okay.
Let him call back, see if we can get a better connection. That's kind of choppy. Anyway, going back to MacArthur, total life transformation, you know, people noticed. And so other people want to say, well, you know, I need to know what is this thing or what is he here that made him, you know, transform his life the way he did. And so it's just miraculous. It's miraculous to see that happen and to be a part of that. Just a small part of that is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. There's Mark calling back again. Let's try to bring him back on. Yeah, you're still.
Can you hear me better now, Brent?
I can hear you better. I'm going to try to turn you down just a little bit here because you are just a little bit. For some reason, it's almost like you're in the wind.
Hold on. Let me turn my AC down. I'm in the car.
Well, don't turn your AC down.
What about now?
yeah,
I know,
fine.
But I mean, it's either you can't hear me or I burn up. So I'll take burning up.
Well, I was just talking about persevering for the Lord, Mark. So you may have to persevere a little bit here.
I'm not that far from home, so we'll.
There
be
you
good.
Go. There you go. Well, I was just talking, Mark. I was talking about the joy of the Lord and sharing some testimonies. You have any testimonies, Mark, that like your own personal testimony of kind of like your life before you came to the Lord and your conversion experience?
Oh man, had a good childhood growing up. My dad was worldly, but he was a good daddy. I mean, he took me and my brother. You know, we hunted, we fished, we went water skiing. Gun shows, you know, all sorts of stuff. But he was there for us. He spent time with us. When he got done with work, you know, on Saturdays, it wasn't like, well, honey, you take care of the kids. I'm going to go out and play 18 holes of golf with the boys. And it wasn't like that. It was, all right, well, I'm going to go fishing. Who wants to come with me? And,
uh-huh.
Of course, you know, we always went with him. Or I'm going hunting, let's go and do this. Or I'm going here, I'm going there, you know, why don't you come with me? So had a good childhood, but then when he died, see, what happened is, you know, when you're a kid and your dad's your hero, he becomes your idol. He's a false god in your life. But you don't know that at the time because you're lost. And all you know is that you're 14 years old and the guy that you look up to, your hero in life, has just now left the face of the earth. And so for about the next 7 years, you know, I just went kind of, I don't want to say off the deep end just yet, but about the time I was ending up with high school and got into college, man, I mean, that's when I went off the deep end a little bit. And I was miserable on the inside. I mean, I didn't have any joy. I didn't have any peace. I was miserable. I hurt. I was angry. Just mad at the world.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to go into great detail, but I could hurt people.
Yeah.
Without any forethought. Just, oh, he did that to you? Oh, here, I'll seek revenge for you. Not a problem. And I could hurt people. I was into drugs, selling drugs, doing all sorts of stuff. But when I went to church on a Wednesday night, a couple of good Baptist guys out at the construction site were always witnessing to me. And, you know, they had something I didn't have. They had a smile on their face.
Yeah.
They had joy in their heart. They had peace in their heart. And I saw something that they had that I certainly didn't have, and I wanted it. So they invited me to church on a Wednesday night. And, Brent, I'm telling you, I went. And it was February the 17th, 1982. And at 8:17 p.m. that night, I gave my heart to Jesus. The preacher, Terry Long, was preaching on pretending, prolonging, and procrastination of salvation. He preached the message. I gave my life to Jesus, repented of my sins, asked him to be the Lord of my life. He came into my heart, and the floodgates opened. All that stuff that was on the inside started coming out. The weight of the world that I had on me was lifted off my shoulders, and I began to experience something for the first time I'd never experienced, and that was peace and joy that I had so sought desperately with drugs to fill those voids in my life, and they couldn't do it. It just wasn't there. And here I was. I mean, I was pretty well addicted. I wasn't on heroin or anything like that, but I'm still addicted. And do you know that Jesus just came down, and I didn't need to go through any 21-step program or this or that. He just delivered me. And I've never looked back. I put my hand to the plow, and I've been going forward in ministry for 35 years now, over 35 years. I can't say it's always been easy. There's nothing that the world has to offer that I would ever want to go back to. But I'll tell you one thing. If you got your nose in the Word of God and you are in prayer, you will have peace in your life. And that, my friends, will also bring you some joy in your life. Because you have to understand that when Jesus is Lord of your life and Daddy is in control of this whole world and universe, that there is no problem that is so big or insurmountable that he has not already overcome it. And I'm telling you, the Job experience, losing everything, you name it, been there, done that a couple of times, but God has always brought me through. Danielle and I, we have joy in our hearts. We have peace in our spirit, mind, soul, and body. And that's just a lifestyle that comes with Christianity. Now, if you're not in the Word, though, Brent, if you're not in the Word and you're not reading God's Word, then the flesh is going to take over. And then when problems arise, guess what happens? You get down. You get depressed. You get sad. You forget who the God of the universe is. And all of a sudden, the things of the world tend to take over because we're walking in the flesh. But when we walk in the Spirit, we know that we're victorious in Christ. And so that's a little bit of my testimony. And I'm just here to tell you today, it hadn't always been easy, but God is faithful and he's true and God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen.
Amen. Well, you touched on so many things before you called in that I've already touched on. Of course, you know, Job, and talked to Job and about Job and all the trials he went through. And I'll add to one more thing besides prayer and being in the Word, Mark. And this is something that Alan and I have found to be a gospel truth. And that is, make sure you're out there serving the Lord in some capacity or another. It's not enough just to take the Word in and read the Bible. You have to also carry it out into the world. You have to be involved in some kind of ministry, because that's what takes the focus off yourself and puts it on other people. And that is the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, that's what brings joy to the Lord. You know, if you want to bring joy to the Lord, do the things he asks you to do. Get out there and, you know, do prison ministry and feed the poor and be with the homeless and, you know, do something. Because what I find is that most of the time when people are depressed or anxious about something, it's almost a very self-centered type of situation where you get into this funk and you just want to lock into your own misery and your own feelings and what's going on in your own life. And the answer to that is to step outside of the circumstances, step outside of yourself, serve like the Lord served. The Lord said, I came to serve, not to be served. And so step outside of that, go out there and serve. And in doing that, you're going to find that a lot of those troubles and tribulations and things like that will start to lift up off of you and go away. I mean, agreed?
Agreed. So we used to say when we were living in Georgia, you know, the WWJD thing was going around, what would Jesus do? Well, we had a saying at our church because we were really into servant evangelism. And so our saying was I am. It's not about me. Anytime the focus is on you, then it's about your flesh and your needs, your wants, your desires. But once you get beyond that, once you mature in Christ, once you grow, then it should be about serving others. One of the things that really brings me great joy, and you know this, is serving the elderly. I love the elderly. I like to visit nursing homes, shut-ins, assisted living homes, so on and so forth, because those people they've got family members, some of them, that live 15 minutes away that only see them twice a year.
Yeah.
And others have family members that, you know, live hours and hours away, a plane ride, days plane ride away, and they never hear from them. Those that live close by, you know, family members should be coming, but for whatever reason they don't. And I'm there to be the hands and feet and the heart and the voice of Jesus for these people who have helped build this great country of ours. And so that brings me great joy. I met you when I first moved to town, and you got me involved in the Kairos ministry to go up to Pendleton and serve the offenders up there. And, you know, at first, folks, I was kind of doing it because I felt like, well, he helped me unload my U-Haul. I'll go do this thing up there because, you know, tit for tat.
Guilt trip works.
And, yeah, guilt trip, man. Hey, whatever works, right? So I went up there. But here's what happened. See, I thought I was just going to go up there and do a little service and kind of be done. And, you know, my brother does prison ministry. That's not me. I do other stuff. Well, I went up there, and what I saw through Kairos was I saw true Christian outreach. I saw the move of God on men whose hearts are so hard, and then God comes in 3.5, roughly 4 days, and just breaks those walls down like the walls of Jericho. And he's able to come in with his Holy Spirit and his love and his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness. And these men's lives are changed. And I'm telling you, they are changed, folks. And when you're involved in a ministry like that, or you go out into the poor sections of town and you go into the public housing sector or somewhere, and you're taking loaves of bread and things like that and giving it to people who barely have any food in their refrigerator, and you see the smile on their face, if that doesn't bring joy to you, then you need to get on your knees and repent. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that brings me to this next verse here, 1 Timothy 4 through verse 5. It says, "But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And that really, Mark, that's really capsulizing what we're saying here. We're saying that God has a ministry for all believers. You may not have found yours yet. You may not have even engaged in it or tried to find what your ministry is yet. But until you do, you know, you're going to have a hard time finding completeness. You're going to have a hard time finding that full joy in the Lord. And so you may be one of these people that become discouraged often, or that become disillusioned at every little thing that happens to you. And to be clear, even if you are serving the Lord, doesn't mean you don't go through hardships, right, Mark? I mean, come on, let's face it. We've both been through our fair share of hardships. But all it's really saying is that it's going to be better, and it's going to help you kind of take that focus off yourself. And in going through all those hardships that you will go through and you will endure, it's going to strengthen you, right? It's going to build you up and strengthen you to continue to go out and do even more and greater things for the Lord.
Amen. I wholeheartedly agree with that. So, I mean, Danielle and I have run the gamut many times, you know, been down and out, and the world's not going to do anything for you. They're going to kick you to the curb. The world does not care. But when you cry out to God, now here's what you can do for me tonight, folks. you're down, you're out right at the moment, you're depressed, you're sad, whatever is going on, there's a great psalm that is Psalm 18. And what I want you to do is I want you to read through it silently and then reread it, but speak it out loud and act it out like you're Shakespeare on stage and voice it out. It is a great psalm about how our Father in heaven, when we need his help, he will move heaven and earth and scatter the enemy for you. And if you can't find the right words to say in a prayer to God, just read that psalm and whatever it is right now. Lord, my mother just died 2 months ago and I'm still hurting. Or my best friend just moved away and I miss him so bad. Or I lost my job. Or whatever the case is, ask God to come and rescue you. And ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit, because you're a couple of quarts low on it. And you need to be overflowing. My cup runneth over. Our cup should run over and spill over the edges onto the table and down to the floor. But sometimes we as Christians, when we're not in the Word, when we're not in prayer, when we're not in fellowship with others, our cup runs low, and then, you know, the flesh and the enemy kind of gains a foothold.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. You've brought this up a couple times, Mark. I want to touch on it real quick. You're talking about the things that this world has to offer. Well, no matter what, it's always going to end up leaving you empty. And just today, a very popular musician and singer named Chris Cornell, who was the lead singer of Soundgarden, committed suicide today in a hotel room, I believe up in Michigan, by hanging himself. And, you know, this is not uncommon. This is why you see these guys that have all the things, Mark, that the world has to offer. This guy had he probably chased everything this world had to offer. He had wealth. He had celebrity. He had just everything you would think that would make you happy. And yet he didn't have something good. You know, something was woefully short. And I mean, how many times do we have to see it when these guys, either drug or party themselves to death? And you know, you're left with like, wow, they had it all. Why would they do that? And part of the reason why I'm doing the show tonight, Mark, is because we had another brother that a lot of us knew through the Great Banquet just this last week, a second one here in less than a month to take his own life. And so that's why I decided, man, Christians have got to understand what it means to cope, what it means to have the joy of the Lord, how we can learn to depend on the Lord and press into the Lord. You know, going back to the prison ministry thing, and just a couple, another story, testimony about the joy of the Lord and that power that you were talking about, Mark, that you saw when you went up to serve with me. I can remember a situation in the prison where, you know, when they do the seating charts, you just get a list of names. You know, it doesn't say whether they're white or they're black, whether they're part of a gang or not. It's just their DOC number and a little bit of information about them, basically. And so you do these seating charts, and you don't know who you're putting next to each other. Well, in this one particular case, I can remember they put one of the leaders of the Aryan Nation, which is a white supremacy gang, right next to a very large black man. And now this guy was the white supremacist, was everything you can imagine: shaved head, swastikas, all the tattoos that go along with that, hardcore. And I watched as the week, and I thought, this is going to be an interesting dynamic. And as it turns out, the table leader was also a very large black man. And so as the weekend progressed, I watched as this white supremacist just began to crumble, and the Lord just began to work on him and work on him. to the point of, and I'll never, ever forget this visual as long as I live. And if you're not out serving the Lord, you're never going to see this kind of stuff. I'm just going to say it. This is the joy of the Lord. Go serve. You'll see it. I'm standing in this gymnasium, and they come out of this chapel area I was talking about. Mark, you know what I'm talking about. It's sectioned off. And out from around this chapel area come these three men, and they are weeping. They are all three just weeping. I'm talking tears just pouring down their faces. And the most beautiful thing was this white supremacist and these two large black men, all three embraced each other and hugged each other for what felt like 5 minutes. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't that long, but it was such a powerful and stark example of what the power, only God could have done that, Mark. You know this. Only God could take somebody with that much hatred in their heart and break them down, and to the point to where they were loving on the person that they supposedly hated and despised. And it was just such a beautiful thing to see. Now, folks, when you see something like that, if you're feeling a little depressed or discouraged, I guarantee you, you're not going to walk out of there feeling depressed and discouraged. You're going to walk out of there like, man, God is real. I have just seen a miracle happen right in front of my eyes. And so you're going to forget about, oh, I was feeling a little down because I didn't get that promotion at work. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't get the promotion at work. Big deal. All right. I'm moving on. I still got a job. Thank you, Lord, for that. You know, I still got food. I still got a place to live. You know, that's just what I'm saying, Mark. You got to get outside of yourself in order to see things like that and to experience things like that.
Well, Brent, you've been with me a couple of times. And up there at Kairos at Pendleton. And so I thought I was going to minister to folks, but I'm the one that got ministered to.
Right.
I came out of there changed. You've seen that.
Yep.
You know, some of the stuff I've been through, I get up there and basically, I mean, you know, you've got all your Christian brothers loving on you. And then you've got these guys up there that you're just loving on and doing the best you can do. And next thing you know, God's not only touching them, but he's touching you as well. But you do have to get beyond yourself. You have to get outside your flesh. Joy, the acronym is Jesus, others, you. So Jesus first, others second, you last. If you keep that in order, then, you know, basically you'll have some joy in your life. And not worldly joy, because worldly joy doesn't last. It lasts as long as, you know, you buy something, you got it, it's nice and shiny and new, but the next day it doesn't fulfill the void. It doesn't meet the need. And
right.
So that's the difference. So there's something out there that people in radio land that are listening right now that they can do if they've never done anything before. When I started out in church, when I got saved, you know what I did? I started cleaning the church. I saw a need. Nobody was doing it. The pastor was begging for help. Wipe down the pews, vacuum the floor, clean some toilets.
Mm-hmm.
Work in the nursery. Work with the children. Work with the kids. Work with the teenagers. Work with the elderly. Do food ministry, clothing ministry. We used to do all sorts of stuff in the community. And when you're with your brothers and sisters, it makes it fun. It makes it easy, enjoyable, effective. Lives are changed. Lives are touched. And especially yours, because you see what God is doing through you, and it builds your faith. And that's one of the big things right there. It'll build your faith.
It really is. And that brings me to another verse here, and we're coming up to the end of the show here, but I want to read this one. This is Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed." And that's really what we're saying here, is that you have been anointed. Well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Mark just ran through a list. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, start somewhere, try a multitude of things, and God will groom you. God will make it known to you what your gift is, and you will start to operate in your gift. But you have to start somewhere, you know. Now, I'm not that big.
No, you got to start somewhere.
And I'm not this big fan, Mark, of, let's take this online assessment to see what your spirit is and all this and that. Hogwash. God will let you know what your spiritual gift is. But you have to start trusting in the Lord, start operating in your faith, and God will make known to you what your spiritual gift is. He will give it to you. It's a gift. He gives it to you. It's free. And you can't give it back. It's a gift. He gave it to you. And so when you start figuring out what that is and you start operating in that, then the whole world opens up to you. Then you start seeing all kinds of things. You know, and I could go on and on about the things I've seen in the prisons. Right. I mean, we both could share testimony after testimony, and it's powerful each and every time. And you know, and when you see stuff like that, you're reminded that only God could do that. You know,
right. And from what started out as a guilt trip that you laid on me, I'm just kidding, man. But now
that's my spiritual gift. That's my spiritual gift.
Yeah, it's your spiritual gift. Yeah, but now, Brent, I look forward to doing Kairos. I want to do it, you know, twice a year. Sometimes it only works out where I can go once a year. But you know, I look forward to it now. It brings me great joy, just like serving the elderly. It brings me great joy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. See, you're talking about taking the first step, and with any journey, if you're going to take a journey, you got to take a first step, right? So that's the old adage, cliche, whatever you want to call it. So Danielle and I, at one point in our life, we thought, well, we're going to go be missionaries over in Africa, over in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And so all the funds were provided, and we went over there. And do you know that as soon as we stepped off the plane, it was kind of like, well, we're committed to this amount of time, but I'm telling you, just about within an hour of stepping off the plane, we knew that it wasn't for us. We always thought that it's something that we wanted to do, but then when we went over to do it, and while we were there, we did what was asked of us and everything, but we just knew that it wasn't our calling.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying, folks. If you haven't done anything, if you're feeling down, blue, depressed, sad, whatever, well, start cleaning the church. Go clean a toilet. Be the best toilet cleaner you can be, right? It might be your calling. And if it's not, you'll quickly find out. But you clean toilets at your house, do them at the church. I loved working with the babies. I love babies, so I didn't mind working with the babies. But I've done everything in a church that there is to do, except for being a secretary.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I can't type and do all that stuff. But my wife does that. So we complement each other. But you got to start somewhere. You got to do something. You got to get out and beyond yourself. And you got to start serving somewhere. Jesus will lead you and guide you into the right thing that he wants you to do. You don't have to go preach to the whole world. But you need to go preach and love on some neighbor somewhere. Somebody in this city is hurting somewhere tonight, and you know they need you. They need a John Jacob. They need a Brent. They need a Mark. They need a Alan. Well, I don't know if they need Alan, but anyway, they need Alan. And so there are people that are lost and dying and going to hell. We don't have much time left. Okay,
I agree.
We've got to turn some things around in our life. We've got to get beyond ourselves, serve others. Everything else will fall into place. Serving others is not a suggestion in the Word of God. It is a commandment.
Right.
And if you're not doing it, then basically you're in sin. You're in disobedience and you're in sin.
Yeah. Well, Mark, hey, man, I really appreciate you calling in. We're here at the top of the hour, so I'm going to sign off here. And man, I just really appreciate you taking the time to call in. I know you're out on the road working, and appreciate you turning your air conditioner off so we can hear you a little better.
Okay, Brent, not a problem. I'll tell you one thing, though. Real quick, I was complaining about some stuff about a month ago. And then I decided that I better change my attitude because I wasn't getting anywhere. So I've changed my attitude. And, man, I tell you what, even when I have a bad day, and today was a not a great day for me. It started out rough, and it ended up a little bit better. But an attitude change and a difference in attitude makes life a whole lot better. It just makes life a whole lot better. And, look, folks, I mean, I'm not perfect. I've been serving God for over 35 years, but I'll tell you something. When your attitude is right, you know, things fall into place.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. All right, Mark, well, I'm going to sign you off here, man. I really appreciate you calling in, brother.
Okay, man. Love you. Thanks for having me.
Love you too. God bless.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. There you have it, folks. So I think Mark and I and Alan and I, and we're all kind of in agreement on this. And that is that if you want to experience the joy of the Lord, if you want to have that peace that surpasses all understanding that Jesus talks about, you have to get outside of yourself. You have to go and serve other people. You have to be involved in some kind of ministry. And I'm just going to end up with Romans 12:15, because I think this encapsulates what we're trying to say here. And in Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. In other words, take the focus off yourself, put it on other people, you know, share in their victories, be there for them when they're in their sadness, take the focus off yourself. Like Mark said, the time is woefully short. Let's get out and save as many people as we can. Tell them the good news of the gospel and spread the blessed news of our Lord Jesus to a lost and dying world. You know, going back to this guy, this lead singer that hung himself today. Tragedy. And I wonder, did anybody ever share the gospel with that guy? You know, the one thing that he was looking for that he couldn't figure out what it was. And I just hope and pray somebody shared it with him. And I don't know. I don't know where he was in terms of his salvation. I really don't know. But I know the secret to having the joy of the Lord is to taking the focus off of ourselves, putting it on other people, serving the Lord faithfully, and you will be amazed. Just try that. Just try that. And focus on, you know, there's that verse, focus on whatever's pure, focus on what's good. Don't sit around and focus on all the negative stuff all the time. And then get out and serve on other people and love on other people, and you'll be amazed at what the Lord will do. So thank you guys on Facebook Live. We really appreciate you guys, and we're going to sign off here now. And this has been Brent Chance with Way of Truth Radio, and our topic tonight has been the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you guys, and God bless.